You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today, a good weekend. Of course, this is the holiday weekend. That's right. This is the holiday weekend. Christmas on Monday, Kwanzaa on Tuesday. Let's make it happen. We're going to talk about Kwanzaa today and a number of other things. And I'm glad that you're here with me. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. And, of course, if you want to use the shortcut, that's right, just go to any search engine that you use, Internet Explorer, Firefox, whatever. Time for an Awakening. Put in babaoshi.net, B-A-B-A-O-S-H-I.net, babaoshi.net. And once again, there'll be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. On Thursdays from 7 to 8 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. On Friday, that's this evening, Time for an Awakening at 8 p.m. Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. On Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. All right. Okay. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. It's WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, for this holiday time, not just on the fourth day of Kwanzaa, which is cooperative economics, but every day or any day, contact WeBuyBlack.com. Buy from them. Go online. Check out the products. Make a conscious effort, family. All right. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayemba is about to leave on the 24th. That's right, this Sunday. He's leaving, going to Azania from the 24th of December to January 4th, 2024. Azania. March 29th to April 9th, 2024. Liberia and Morocco. July 11th through July 23rd, 2024, Ghana. November 21st to December 2nd, 2024, Kemet. December 24th, once again, to January 4th, 2025, Azania. April 1st to April 11th, 2025, Senegal. And Gambia. May 24th to June 5th, 2025, Ghana. November 21st to December 1st, 2025, Brazil. Once again, you know, Brother Bomani ain't playing around, man. You see that? He done put about three more destinations. I mean, it's beautiful. So, brothers and sisters, go to AfricaForTheAfrican.org and check it out for yourself. But if you want to see pictures, go to Facebook.com, pictures, go to facebook.com/Bomani. You want to see videos? Go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans.org. Habashaw. Habashaw Incorporated. Habashaw stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And the great work that the Habashaw program does, Habashaw Works program, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and Urban Green Jobs. And, of course, the Kashi Project, which was established last year, October, in Ghana. And beautiful buildings. You got to check it out. Go to HabashawIncorporated.org. The Ledge Group, land for the environmental development for group economics. They deal in the four areas of human necessity, of human existence, food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects on six different countries in Africa, with over 170 employees and over 260 members. Become a member of the Ledge Group, land for the environmental development for group economics. The Ledge Group. Abibi Atumi, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I, abibiatumi.com. Brothers and sisters, Abibi and Tumi, connect people and organizations to connect like-minded individuals for the purpose of networking around total African liberation from under the pale Eurasian domination. Enhances communication to provide opportunities for individual African people, authors, and organizations to promote services that benefit African people. Social education. Abibiatumi.com functions as a virtual learning center for those who wish to reclaim African people's language, customs, and lifestyles. Brothers and sisters, Abibiatumi.com. Moses West Foundation. The Moses West Foundation. They're bringing sustainable water. We're more than a foundation. We are a driving force working towards a sustainable, equitable future. Join us in our pursuit of a world where clean water is accessible to all. Ashe.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
So we always want to know for sure what the Moses West Foundation is doing. Brother Apollo, I'm not sure what's happening. Call them a number of times, but we'll get them on at the beginning of the year to let us know what's happening with the Moses West Foundation. All right. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar here in Atlanta, located on Ralph David Abernathy in the West End. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. Fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, t-shirts, and figurines, and so much more. Mama Nia, 404-346-3263, 404-346-3263. The Black Dot Cultural and Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia, which is east of Atlanta, off of I-20. You take I-20 going east, you exit number 74. You make a left, now you're going north. And on the left, about a mile down the road, is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar with my good friend, Brother Gazimdi Ajamu. If you want to give him a call, give him a call. He has a great selection of books, t-shirts, and of course, coffee, teas. 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. And jump back on the street, Main Street. Headed back in the opposite direction, you're going south. Make a left again, now you're going east. The next exit, exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Make a right, three lights, make a right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. I'll talk more about the new Black Wall Street Market in a minute, because that's where the Kwanzas are happening. All right, and other Kwanzaa happenings. Ulu. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics. They have their Thursday night broadcast last night on blogtalkradio.com/ULU every Thursday night from 9 to 10, from 9 to 10. The number to call is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative
for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Another one that we promote on Fridays particularly is the Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. My good brother, Brother Yusuf Muhammad, who's a former president of the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters, has, and their program is from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Friday. From 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday. Give them a call at 563-999-3089. That's 563-999-3089. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. And you can see, man, the weather all the time, man. The flooding that's going on in California, out in the Northeast. And it'll happen in your area soon, you know. Climate change is real. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia, open Tuesdays through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Brother B just got it going on. You give him a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Sun Goddess Sense. My sister Shelly gave a number of prizes away just the other day that I saw. And believe me, brothers and sisters, a beautiful, beautiful sister. With Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall. Booth 225. Give her a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sanjay-Aiti. I've always talked to you about Sister Gabby and the work that she does with the young children on the island of Haiti in the northeastern portion of the island up in the hills. They are sustained by us. There is no government funding. They're sustained by us, for those of us who are willing to share, for those of us who are willing to donate. Go to Sanjay, SONJAYITI.org. SONJAYITI.org. All right. And, of course, Akabin. Akabin Institute with Baba Baruti and Mama Yah. And you can donate to them through P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta 30310, or you can donate through PayPal, yahbaruti at yahoo.com, or Cash App, $ Yah M Baruti, whatever way you want to do it. It's greatly appreciated. Also, too, go to akabinhouse.com. Buy a book and give it as a gift. Books are the best Kwanzaa gifts, okay? AkabinHouse.com. All right. The Inya, Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. It's always an honor for me to read from the Inya Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. December 21st. We do not believe that there is any hope for a people who do not believe that they look like God. Bishop McNeil, Henry McNeil Turner. One of his quotes that I first learned about Bishop Henry McNeil Turner, he says, God is black. He's got to be black, because if God is a white man, there is no hope. That's right. That's right, family. We do not believe that there is any hope for a people who do not believe that they look like God. If you have a deity, I would hope that the deity looks like you, if that's who you're worshiping, you. And it is insane that you would honor and worship a deity of an oppressor, of an enslaver, of a murderer. Man, save us. The cosmic sea is black. Carbon is black. Melanin is black. The richest earth is black. the color containing all other colors is black. The ink that our ancestors recorded truth with on papyri was black. Beauty is black. The world's hardest diamonds are black. Imhotep, the world's first multi-genius, was black. Carbon, the most fundamental element in the universe, is black. Our deities are black. Keperra, the Keperra beetle, is black. Night, the time of spiritual meditation, is black. Petroleum, the world's most abundant and practical hydrocarbon energy source, is black. Amarji, misnamed Lucy, mother of all humanity, was black. The most regal panther and strongest ants are black. The world's first iron smelters were black. Light is most visible in black. Energy is black. The cap and the color of the chambers in the pyramids were originally black. The Cushites, Chemites, and all other ancient Africans were black. Untainted, our skin is still black. And we know that the primordial waters from which the universe sprung were black. So why wouldn't the Creator be black? So why wouldn't the Creator be black? Affirm, I am divinely black. Affirm, I am divinely, divinely black. December 22nd. There's nothing more dangerous and destructive in a household than a frustrated, oppressed black man, African man. Nathan McCall. Warriors need rest. We need regular and complete psychological and physical breaks from the battle lines. Our spirits, minds, and bodies require quality, peaceful time, and safe, demilitarized zones in order for us to continue operating optimally as African warrior scholars on the battlefield. Sound rest allows us to remain balanced while fending off the relentless assault against our humanity. Balance is critical to our maintenance of Ma'at. And at the root, Ma'at is what makes us African. In our Zell, warriors often forget this. We often forget that work requires rest. Work and rest are complements. They move us as one. If we somehow forget this, sooner or later, the imbalance will affect us. It will cause us to be unable to rest, even though we are forced ourselves to take days off, isolate ourselves from the community, unthinkingly vent at family, almost always feel overwhelmed, and are unable to stop even when we can't feel the extremes of fatigue. Battling without rest, regardless of how long the road ahead or how desperate the situation is a linear approach to war. We have logically adopted it because of the ongoing pressing demands of a looming genocide. We Africans should fight like we have always done everything in cycles, not dead end lines. We balance work with rest. We rest in between calculated conflicts. We may not choose our enemies, but we must choose when and how we will deal with them. Affirm, I make the time to rest. Affirm, I make the time to rest. December 23rd. Like a new earth rise, like another world be born, let a new world rise, let another world be born. Let a bloody peace be written in the sky. Let a second generation full of courage issue forth. Let a people loving freedom come to grow. The poetess Margaret Walker. Conscious Africans understand that war is not about bringing destruction as with the Europeans. For us, it is about returning order. It is about the restoration of a balance which produces harmony. We must bring peace by disarming the disruptor. But because we have learned war through the eyes of destroyers, we do not conceive of social reality in terms of a framework of Ma'at. We neither conceive of war as a healing action nor recognize a warrior as being a healer. In fact, We, unlike our ancestors, see warriors and healers as diametrically opposite mentalities. We have allowed the connected between being a man of God and a man of war to be severed in our thinking. We have forgotten that our traditional priests led the army because we have blindly and patriotically see the European priorities as ours. We become oblivious to the fact that the European not only prays for victory as the inception of all daring hostilities, but he also generally prays for war. Because we buy their propaganda, we do not see that they have never separated church and state. Like all other people of the world, we too must work to restore order to the African world. And if this requires bringing a bloody peace, then we must be courageous enough to bring a warrior spirit to bear on that choice. Ashe. Affirm, I recognize the righteous war brings a reordered peace. Affirm, I recognize that a righteous war brings a reordered peace. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Ashe. Well, family, I hope everyone is doing well. You know, it's that time, the high holy time, the holiday time. Yeah, it's that time. Everybody's out there shopping, getting their gifts, you know. It's that time of year when many businesses, you know, this is it. They don't make no money, you know, off what's happening right now, they ain't going to make no money. So, yeah. So, that's right. So they gotta, you know, do all that they can to get that money. That's right. All that they can. Where should I go first? Should I go with Kwanzaa first? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go with a continuation of the conversation of a couple of days ago. And that is, you know, we talk about Christmas and what this is about, and I know that. I know that the Christmas story in itself is old, as you know. The Christmas story, of course, is the story of Aser Aset in Eru. You know, that's the Christmas story. And it was taken because in that reality, that story is ubiquitous with us. And so they have only used the story of Christ being born in Bethlehem. I just seen the news because of the conflicts. There's no celebration in Bethlehem of Christ's birth, you know, which of course is, once again, not true. It's a fallacy to begin with. And I know for those who are listening, you understand it. You know that, you know. But I know there are many people, many people globally, because still I think there are more Christians in the world than any other Christian denomination. There are more Christians in the world, you know. And, of course, this is their time, you know. This is their time, man. But we don't know how that happened. We just go along with what has been stated, what has been said. You know, that's what we do. We don't look at the dynamics. Yeah, we don't. It's unfortunate. One thing that I know, and I've said many times on this program, that if this time of year didn't happen, it would have been created. It would have been created. Well, this is created anyway, but what you understand what I'm saying. The mercantile community, the business community would have created. They need something like this. Something that pumps you up to get you to go out and spend your money. You know, I hope you had a chance to listen Wednesday when I presented Dr. Shakamusa Barashango, Shakamusa Barashango. And of course, you know, why do we celebrate these European holidays? You know, Christmas and everything else. See, I agree. I mean, you know, that's for them. It's not ours. But we've been here and we have been indoctrinated. We have been indoctrinated. Our minds have not been our own. We are led and misled and miseducated. And we believe in as a great visionary, Stevie Wonder once said in one of his songs, when you believe in things you don't understand, you suffer. And we have been a suffering people because of this. Because we believe in things that we don't understand. That we don't do a historical, and there's no historical reference to it. And as a consequence, we go along to get along to our detriment because we believe in things we don't understand. And we don't listen to our scholars, our historians, our elders, read our ancestors, and so forth. I ain't talking about the ones that were very favorable to Caucasians. I ain't talking about the ones that you know, you see on TV, Henry Louis Gates and all these other. No, I'm talking about our scholars, our historians, those who were independent, those who, if white folks didn't like them, we should love them. Yes. So this situation here, it's just like, how did it come to be then? Many people have already stated many, many times that if there was a Jesus and he was born, he wasn't born December 25th, not in the area, not in the Northern Hemisphere. No. But when you look at how it operates, because, you know, Jesus is in a line of many, and I do mean many, saviors who died and 3 days was resurrected. Many. You know, once again, the story was taken from Aser, Aset, and Heru. You know, the virgin birth, the whole, all of it, you know. Very succinctly, here you had Aset. The Greeks called him Osiris. And you have Aser. Aser, excuse me. And the Greeks called him Isis. And you have Aset. The Greeks called her, you know, Isis. Aset. And everybody loved Aser. He was admired, respected. And Aser, in fact, they called him the Lord of the Perfect Black. The Lord of the Perfect Black. He is black, but he's sometimes depicted green because he's also the god of vegetation. Well, if you live on a desert, you want to pray to that god. You want to make sure that what that God does every year provides the things that are necessary for you to grow food. And the lifeline of ancient Kemet was the Nile River. Without the Nile River, there would be no Kemet. But what happens with the Nile River every year, it floods. it inundates and it deposits it black fertile earth along its banks. That black, I just told you how important black was. Black fertile earth. And that's when the, you know, because there was three seasons that the ancient Kemetic people observed. The inundation, the growing of the crops, and the harvest. The inundation. After the inundation, it was during the inundation that they went to higher ground, that they chilled out, because they knew once the water receded, they got to get busy. They can't procrastinate. They got to get busy. They got to grow food. They got to plant. And then after that, they got to till it and they got to check it out. And then, of course, the harvest. They got to harvest the food so there's plenty of food for the hundreds and hundreds of thousands, if not a million people, up and down the Nile River. Well, in the story, once again, we're talking about Ma'at. And what is Ma'at? Balance. Balance. If you got a god, you got to have a goddess. You got a king, you got to have a queen. If you have good, you got to have bad. And of course, Aser was good. The people admired and loved and respected Aser. And he had an evil brother, Set. Set, where you get the setting of the sun. Set. And so it was the ubiquitous light against dark. Aser representing the day and Set representing the night. And they battled each other. But in the story, Set hated the fact that his brother was so admired, so respected, so that he devised a plan to kill him. He kills him, cuts him up in 14 pieces, scatters his body across the Nile. His wife, Aset, who the Greeks called Isis, gathers up the pieces of her dead husband to resurrect him. Finds every piece but one, his penis, which they allege in the story he was eaten by a catfish. That's why they used to say catfish makes your nature rise. I'm getting me a dinner tonight. Well, it is Friday, y'all. And so she had him wrapped. And the gods sent Jehudi, the god of articulation and speech, the Greeks called him Toth, sent Jehudi, who announced to her, because it would have happened, that she would have a child, that she would have a son. The Annunciation, Immaculate Conception. She has the child, and many people came for the adoration of the new child. And they followed the star. They followed the star. Some call it the North Star, brightest star, Sirius. And they used the three stars in Orion's belt. They called those stars back then the three kings. And see, once again, this story is old, thousands and thousands and thousands of years old. And yet they want you to believe that this story is historical. Based on Jesus. This is not some kind of fairy tale. This is not some kind of myth based upon what they say. So they followed that to the birth of the new Heru and adorning gifts and so forth. Well, he grows up to avenge his father's death. just like in the movie The Lion King. The Lion King is that story, family. When your kid or you take your child or you sit down, because The Lion King is old, and you watch the movie The Lion King, you can point that out to your children, that this is the story of the first royal family of Aser, Aset, and Heru. The Greeks called him Osiris. They called her Isis, and they called Heru Horus, where you get the word hero, because he avenges his father's death against his evil uncle. And so when Aser is buried before he is resurrected, understand, right now, today is the first day of winter. The first day of winter in the northern hemisphere. In the southern hemisphere, they're experiencing summer. That's why next month, the Australian Open tennis tournament will be played, because it's hot. And there's been a couple times that it's been extremely hot, you know. And so, after he died, he stayed in the tomb 3 days. 3 days. What they're saying is, tomorrow, the 22nd, the 23rd, and the 24th, it is still. But on the 25th, the sun begins to rise slowly until spring and then summer. That's about, family. That's the 3 days. Because number one, in the Jesus story, that don't fit. Because he wasn't in the tomb 3 days. Going by that story, he got killed on Friday. Good Friday, because he got killed for redemption of those who believe. He had to be wrapped and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, he wasn't in all day Friday for the sake of this discussion. Let's say he got in there about 4 o'clock by that time. You know, he all cleaned up and wrapped. Of course, he's wrapped in that linen. And in Italy, in Turin, there's a shroud that supposedly that Jesus had on, that the image was burnt into the shroud. Yeah. And so he rises after the third day, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday. But of course, you know, we ain't talking about full days. We only talking about fractions. Probably the only full day was Saturday, because many say he rose in the morning. That's why they have sunrise services on Easter Sunday. But if you just want to go by the day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that's fine, family. Because that's what people do. We ain't talking about the 24-hour period. We're just talking about the day itself. Okay. Don't be so technical. So. And because of that, that's why you have Jesus rising on Easter Sunday. And what you have in ancient Kemetic society, that he rises, but he sits on the throne of judgment. He sits on the throne of judgment. When you die, you are led by Ma'at, with a single feather in her head. And the Netcher, or God, Jehudi, who looks like an ibis bird, is the God of articulation and speaks, who guides you. And Ampu and Heru are all there to guide you into the scales. Your heart will be weighed by a feather of Ma'at. And you say the 42 declarations of innocence. I have not done this. If you have shown to have lied, your heart will become heavier than the feather, and your heart will be eaten by the beast of unjust souls. You do not go to Aser for the judgment. You are eaten by the beast of unjust souls at that moment. You go no further. But if you have an opportunity because you stay balanced, Ma'at, righteousness, harmony, order, balance, reciprocity, balance. And so you sit in judgment of Aser, and then you go on to the afterlife where you live for the eternity. That's what we created, and that's what was copied. And not just by Christians, but by many others. So, I tell you, so this holiday season, celebrating of the birth of Christ, or if you want to use that, I'm saying that, we have to understand whoever gives us something or wants to present something to us, if it is not African, we have to be suspicious of it. In fact, I maintain that we reject it. If it is not African, we reject it. Brother Oshie, are you saying reject Christianity? Yes. Are you saying it reject Islam? Yes. Are you saying reject Judaism? Yes. What benefit have they done? Look at the world. Look at when these organized religions came into the world. And look what it has done to us. Look at the European-controlled Judaism. And look what that religion has done to us. Look at Christianity all over Africa. And look what it has done to us. Look how poor we are. When I went to Ghana and seen all those billboards and bumper stickers with pictures of white Jesus, went to church a couple of times in Ghana, picture of white Jesus. But ain't Ghana, it's all over. Look at Islam. We have not fared under Islam more than any other outside religion. If it's for them and they benefit, fine. But it has not benefited us. So for this holiday season, I'm going to wrap this up. If you have an opportunity to be with your family, and just like that comedy piece I listened to. In fact, just like it wasn't a comedy piece, it was Ishaka Musa Bereshango. He was saying, man, they was really nice. Next thing I know, we started arguing, and you got a fight going on. Check out Chicago. No, hell, damn that. Check out any place in this country. It's where, with this celebration. And next thing you know, we fighting. We shooting. Because guns are so readily available. We shooting. Brothers and sisters, I don't wish that. I wish that you have a good holiday season with you and your family, and everything is right for you and your family. I really do. And I wish that you would be back with us again on Monday, which is Christmas. And of course, the next day is Kwanzaa. And so we're going to play some Kwanzaa music, you know? We're going to play some Kwanzaa music, family. Teddy Pendergrass, Happy Kwanzaa. And then we're going to play Kwame Cobb and Shavinduka's Seven Principles, Happy Kwanzaa. Yeah. Kwanzaa's. Kwanzaa's serious in the family, at least for me. I know my family, not for them, but for me. You know, that's them. I love them. That's them, but for me. No, that my family's not African. Many of my family have, you know, when I did what I've done, like, what you doing? Not understanding how I feel about Kwanzaa, how I feel about Africa and Africans and the opportunity to be who we are. I recognize this is the only salvation for African people is to return to who we are. It's the only. So, let me start this off, family. Okay? Yeah. We'll be right back. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie. On Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Happy Kwanzaa. So many ways KBZ starts at 8, that's when we get praise. To the man upstairs for another blessed day. I give hugs to my moms, my dad, and my sis. You smell that? I run to see what moms cook.
While we drink from the cup of togetherness, it's that part of the year that you don't want to miss. I give a gift from the heart so you know it's true. So recite a principle and tell me what it means to you.
Creativity.
Unite for, determine for ourselves what we choose to live or die for. We have the faith, the creative mind. It comes to us through our ancestral bloodline. Collective work, responsibility for our global economics and political destiny.
I want to say that I'm an African. I celebrate Kwanzaa because I'm an African.
Thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Kwame Cobb, or Steve Cobb, and Shavinduka's beautiful wife, Shavinduka. What a beautiful voice, man. You're going to love these Kwanzaa songs from starting today, of course, and all next week. And she is dynamic, man, believe me. Kwame Cobb and Shavinduka. The you can get them off YouTube. You can go to YouTube and get the Teddy Pendergrass, Happy Kwanzaa. The Seven Principles, Steve Cobb and Shavinduka. And the spelling of her name, if you want that. Spelling of the sister's name, Steve Cobb and Shavinduka, you know, is C-H-A-V-U-N-D-U-K-A, Shavinduka. Steve Kwame Cobb and Shavinduka. Just a beautiful couple, man. They are. I was blessed to meet them before the Seven Principles CD came out back in Milwaukee. They came to Milwaukee. They're out of Chicago. And when we had the national convention in the 90s in Chicago, we had them for a cultural night. They were outstanding. We had them play for a cultural night. Yeah. Beautiful. So, Kwanzaa's happening. So let me try to get to my, I know Brother Luss has a Kwanzaa happening. So we're trying to, I'm going to try to get to where Kwanzaa's are happening at across, that I know of. We'll talk about, definitely talk about the ones that are happening here in Atlanta. And I know you like to talk about the ones that are happening in your neck of the woods. You know, I want to talk about the one that's happening in my computer is slow, family. So I must apologize from the outset. Slow. Man. My laptop is the where I got the program on. It's not. You know, it moves. It moves in a decent pace. Yeah, because I'm going to. Because Brother Luss sent me the Kwanzaa for Montgomery, Alabama that they're having on the 30th, I believe it is. And I'm trying to get to it. You know, the technology is. And I know, too, Brother Mickey Dean out of Kansas City and the National Black United Front, Kwanzaa that is happening there. On the first day of Kwanzaa here in Atlanta, Brother Kenneth Zaki at the Art Exchange is having Kwanzaa. And then, okay, see, it went crazy on me. And in Milwaukee, that's right, the first day of Kwanzaa at the Wisconsin African American Historical Society, Wisconsin Black Historical Society, Brother Claiborne Benson. He's been doing Kwanzaa, I can't say for how long. You know, my first Kwanzaa, I don't know about you, but probably so, was in someone's home. They weren't having public Kwanzaa. It was pretty new. And, you know, they weren't having Kwanzaa. They were having Kwanzaa in people's homes. And it was beautiful. It really was. That was my first experience. And then they started having Kwanzaa publicly. And, oh, man, one of the best ones I remember is at the Val Phillips, a sister who was very instrumental in the state of Wisconsin and in Milwaukee. She had a YMCA named after her, to Val Phyllis Y. And man, that was the entertainment, the whole bit. And then Brother Claiborne got his place, the Wisconsin Black Historical Society. In fact, as it was evolving, we had Kwanzaa did that 1 year, and it was a theater. It was the Oasis Theater and a library next door. So they had a library, public library that closed into, because they built a new one across the street, and the theater, the Oasis Theater, and that closed. And what he did, because you know a theater usually the it's on an incline, so people can see the movie that those are sitting in front of them. So he leveled the floor out, and so at that time the floor was dirt. And it had plywood on the floor. We had Sister Soja in the house, family. That's right. We had Sister Soja in the house. It was great. And, oh, man. We had Sister Soja. So Kwanzaa's, as far as I'm concerned, is big. It is. Let me see if I got... I'm trying to find, as I said, my computer is slow. I apologize about that, but I'm trying to find.
There is no good white people.
I'm trying to find the Kwanzaa with Brother Lusk, Brother Ted. I know there's Brother Mickey Dean. And I'm quite sure Brother Akinyele, Bashir Akinyele Pata in New Jersey with ASCAC, you know. Okay, here's the Kwanzaa, Brother Ted. Brother Ted's Kwanzaa in New Jersey. Please come and join us for Kwanzaa in the Midlands on the December 30th. We have an awesome speaker and a great program planned. Right on. And that's Brothers Lusses. Kwanzaa in Birmingham, Alabama. See, it's still not coming up, man. You know, sometimes it's technology, man. He has a brother, Dr. Black, who is a presenter. That's on the 30th in Montgomery. Let me try to find these other ones, man. I know I got the one for here in Atlanta. And aside from the one at the, which is the first day, which is Umoja, the same as in Milwaukee at the Wisconsin Black Historical Society, with Brother Claiborne Benson. And this is at the Art Exchange with Brother Kenneth Zaki. And, of course, my good sister, Mama Nabantu, she's heading up the new Black Wall Street Market. They had some Kwanzaa there last year. I participated, and I'm going to be participating a few times this year with Mama Nabantu. I don't know why it takes so damn long to bring this stuff forward. So... I apologize. I love that Oscar Brown Jr. I apologize. I love that, man. Oscar Brown Jr. So, I think the most, the newest schedule for the Kwanzaas that are going to be at the new Black Wall Street Market here in Atlanta, in the city of Stonecrest, east of Atlanta, off of I-20. Take I-20 going east from Atlanta, and you take exit 75, Turner Hill Road, make a right, three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. where the Kwanzaa happenings will be going on, where the Kwanzaa happenings will be going on there. I'll give more information. In fact, Monday, my guest will be Bashir Nchawi out of New York. Bashir Nchawi was in the formation of Kwanzaa in the beginning. You know, there were a lot of other people who were involved in the formation of Kwanzaa and the promotion of Kwanzaa besides Malana Karinga. In fact, when Malana Karinga was imprisoned, Kwanzaa was being pushed and promoted throughout the country by these individuals coming out of New York. Sister Arcana, I believe it is, Sister Arcana, Mother Arcana in the Bay Area. I know Mama Nabantu knows her in the Bay Area. In fact, she even went to Africa pushing and promoting Kwanzaa, you know. So there's many other people. That's why Kwanzaa is not Malana Karinga's. And I think for some of us, myself included, you know, when he did what he did, it's unfortunate. But I'm speaking in reference to Kwanzaa when he got paid by the United States Postal Service and the stamp that he had, and he had the colors on the flag were different. And he gave a rationale about it. The colors weren't the red, black, and green that Marcus Garvey had presented to us. They were green, red, and black. They were not in that particular order, you know. But once again, it is not his. It is ours. Kwanzaa is ours. It is a cultural holiday, a celebration of culture, celebration of who we are as a people. That's what it is. And to instill the principles of Kwanzaa into our everyday lives. We have the principles and we have the symbols. We have the symbols of Kwanzaa, the mat, the mkika, the kanara, the candle holder, the mishuma saba, the red, black, and green candles, three red, three green, and one black. The first candle that's in the middle is the black candle. When you look at the Kwanzaa presentation, three red on the left, three red on the left, the black in the middle, and the three green on the right. The first one that you light is the black candle, then the red candle, then the green candle, and go back and forth till all seven are lit. The Kikumbi Chayu Moja, the unity cup. The Vibunzi, or Mandira. The corn that represents. On my kid, I've always said, I have 3 ears of corn. I have two daughters. And the other ear of corn represents the children that I have worked with for so many years of coaching football, refereeing basketball, going to schools on my off day as a firefighter. I used to go to 3-4 schools in a day talking to young people. Because Baba Oshi loved the children. You know that's right. I do, really. I love us. I love the children. You know? And so, and of course, Zawadi, the gifts that you get during Kwanzaa. And it's always been said and it's written that the gifts should be practical because they know what hardship that could happen and sometimes and does happen because of Christmas trying to buy all these gifts and, you know, the sacrifices that are made. So they just want it to be practical, a book about something that is handmade, you know. And so the first day, the 26th, which is Tuesday at the New Black Wall Street Market, and it starts at, 3 o'clock. You know, libation is around 3:10. And then the anthem, African dances, drumming. I don't know why this schedule can't move over so I can see the whole thing. Man, then, of course, Wednesday, the 27th, Kuji Chakalia, Self-Determination. And Brother Kenneth Zaki is doing, now he's going to be doing his thing on Tuesday at the Art Exchange. And Mama Nabantu and so forth. Okay. And then Thursday, the 28th, I'll be doing the libation. And there's a presentation, Zumba. And then Friday, the fourth day of Kwanzaa, which is apropos Ujamaa, Us Lifting Us is making a present. They're hosting Us Lifting Us. Okay? On Friday. And then Saturday, I'll be pouring libation once again on Sunday. On Sunday at the New Black Wall Street Market. Somehow I can't get the full schedule, family. But Kwanzaa is happening in your area. Check it out. Find out where. And whatever day that you can go, you know. And I know usually the first day is the bomb. The first day and the last day is the bomb, you know. And I tell you, it's beautiful. Okay, Mama Nabantu is always on it. She sent me a piece here. Hopefully I can open this up and get a better read, because the one I can't even do it. Oh, man. We got a number of you in the queue. If you want to say something about what I said earlier about the religious piece, want to say something about Kwanzaa or whatever's on your minds, it's a Friday. It's a Friday of the holiday weekend. You can hear Star twice.
Hey, Oshie.
Hey, Jay. What's up, man?
Not much. Are you coming in on Monday?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Oh, you're not going to take ho-ho-ho day off?
Ho, no.
Okay.
Oh, ho-ho, right. No. No, Jay. Of course they do. I have never.
Ho 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 day off.
I have.
Like to celebrate.
Right.
Ho 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 day.
But if my program landed on, because you know they got those Monday holidays, Labor Day, Memorial Day. If my program landed on that day, I'm gonna broadcast whatever day. If it was, you know, whatever day it landed on. I'm broadcasting, man, whether it's 4th of July, 4th of July, Christmas, whatever. I'm broadcasting, you know. And usually we give a perspective of that day. But Monday, Brother Bashir Mchawi, who was a part of the East, you know the East. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be my guest. And so we're going
to
talk about...
You wasn't able to get Baba Baruti on, huh?
No, uh-uh. No.
Oh, man.
I'm going to still try. I'm going to still try because he's still off. So I'm going to try to see, you know.
Yeah, man. You know, we always need to... we need to hear his wisdom.
Oh, no doubt.
But I had heard you when I first tuned in. I had heard you say something about Sister Soda. And I think you were saying something about there are no good white people. I've never seen them.
Yeah, that's her line.
I saw that little video.
You saw that? Oh yeah, that was earlier
this week.
Yeah, that was from the State of the Black World. You know, on Phil Donahue. The issue was, in fact, it was titled "The Issue Is Race" with Phil Donahue. What you call was on there too. Daruba Ben Wahan, who had just finally got released because of all that bullshit that he went through. You know,
the crazy thing about that is, if you would look at that show today, what did she say was not applicable today and not true?
Nothing. Everything that she said then is applicable today.
Where are the good white people?
There ain't none.
scared. I mean, and you look at that Negro. I think Cornel West was on there trying to defend it.
Yes, he was. That was the first. Line. That was the first time I saw the program live when it aired way back in the 90s, and that was the first time I'd seen Cornel West. You know, and of course there was some other Negroes and Negroettes on the stage. Sharon Pratt Dixon, who was the mayor of D.C. You know, they were all coming down on Sister Soulja and Daruba Ben Wahan because they were taking a hard stance.
Listen, during that period of time, I knew Sister Soulja very well. Matter of fact, I was part of her organization at that time, ANISA, with that came out of Rutgers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, matter of fact, she had a sister there from South Africa where I first learned about apartheid, because what had happened was that was during the apartheid movement, and the group came out of Rutgers College, and then it moved in to Harlem because she was working with Ben Chavis, when he was Ben Chavis or whatever.
Right.
You know, she was working through him, and then she started the organization in Harlem that, you know, me and a couple of my dearest friends became a part of her. I would honestly say she's probably one of the most dynamic and influential sisters I ever came across in my life. The public thought some things, but her analysis.
Oh man, she was spot on.
Was beyond on point.
She was spot on.
You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
And it's a shame. It's a shame that so-called black leadership deprived black people of her. Them Negroes like Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Farrakhan, and the rest of them. When she had that incident with Bill Clinton, derailed her.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, what you call them to tell you about Marcus, because the last public event of our organization, the ANISA, was us about to, or we were going to debate Curtis Sleeva. Alombre Bath and other members of the community from I think it was the December 12th for Alombre's. Marcus could tell you.
Okay.
They wouldn't let us debate them, and from that point on, the group changed. But she was beyond a dynamic sister. Matter of fact, she had one of these writers today that, you know, he is who he is. You've heard of him because he's interviewed a lot of, you know, hip-hop artists and things of that nature. A brother by the name of Kevin Powell, I knew him. Matter of fact, I met through her, Roz Baraka.
Okay, Roz Baraka. Amir Baraka's son.
Yeah, Roz. Mm-hmm. I don't know if her and Roz is still good friends today. I think they are. But I know her and Kevin Powell not good friends no more. And they was, as thick as thieves, they was as thick as teeth. But what I was saying was there was a sister named Denisa from South Africa, man, and she broke it down to me about South Africa and what was going on, man. And I was glad to hear that the sisters back in South Africa working with the youth, man. She was probably one of the most dynamic sisters I ever met in my life from South Africa. She had the spirit of Winnie Mandela all in her, bro.
Right on.
I talked to her for 5 hours, man, and she broke it down what was going on, and that was good.
I got Brother Marcus holding, so I'm going to go to Brother Marcus. Okay.
Matter of fact, put Marcus on the line. Yeah. He'll tell you.
Brother Marcus.
Yeah, Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, Brother Jay and Brother Oshie.
Right on.
Greeted.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, you know, I kind of disagree with you, though, about the, you know, there are no good white people. You know, there are good white people. They're in the cemetery.
Labels.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They're in the cemetery.
But
they can't hurt nobody.
But Marcus, you remember at the Harriet Tubman that night that Anissa was supposed to debate Curtis Leva and the Guardian Angels and the Lambe and the rest of the so-called elders or whatever said that they wasn't going to allow that cracker into the debate or something like that. But all I know is after that, there was no more Anissa. But I can tell you, I would say this. During that period of time, there was very few sisters that were speaking up and speaking out like Sister Soldier. There was very few. They had sisters out there
yes.
that could do it. They yes. had sisters out there that could articulate and do it, but none of them had the type of rage
right.
that she had and the honesty that she committed. And the sad thing is, man, that her voice today would put the majority of these so-called leaders
to
absolute shame. Because she would mm-hmm. ask the right questions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's yes. the one thing you will never see a female so-called leader out in front, yeah. these politicians and things of that nature. They would never ask the right question or ever challenge white folks. I mean, name me a black female leader today that challenged white folks.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, you see,
Brother Jay, Brother Jay, Brother Marcus, can I be heard?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Go ahead, Irv.
Brother, and there's an elephant in the room. What happened with Cornel West and Donahue and the Farrakhan and all these people that came on television, not necessarily Farrakhan, but the others, they were living in a integrationist mindset. They weren't trying to find who they were or live their culture. They were trying to integrate themselves into someone else's culture. And when Sister Soldier came on the scene, she came on the scene as a black African woman. And that was something they could not digest. So what happened was everything that came out of her mouth was going against the status quo.
That's true.
And it made sense to myself, Jay, Marcus, or anyone else who calls this show, because the show is an African perspective. But it didn't make sense to white people or black people who were living the white life, who were, I'm a PhD, I got some money, mm-hmm. I'm all right. So, and you notice the word that I said before I said anything. I said I didn't say we, I didn't say collectively, I said I.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, when you're promoting an individual mindset, integrationist mindset, these are the people that you're going to get on the sidelines that'll jump on Bill Clinton's bandwagon. Well, it's better to get a half a glass of water than no glass of water at all. But both glasses, the full one and the half one, is dirty. Both mm-hmm. of them are going to make you sick. White people make me sick. I'm just telling you, Marcus said something that just made me chuckle. They are good white people in the cemetery. Come on now.
Yeah, that was
I love that. But I'm going to let someone else talk.
Hey, Irv, listen to this, Irv. Let me tell you, Irv, check this out. And I'm telling you this as someone who was there within the circle. When that thing went down with Bill Clinton, right? What had happened was, and you can see the video, because there's a video on YouTube with her addressing the Bill Clinton issue. And let me tell you something. I'm telling you this because I was there. I know this for a fact. He was going to get that smoke. If like you just said, Irv, them integrationists had stood in their place mm-hmm. and allowed her to deal with him, we wouldn't have never had Bill Clinton in our lives. We wouldn't have never, because she would have decimated him. She wanted to expose him for what he was and the cracker that he was. But what happened was, and I know this for a fact, the Jesse Jacksons, the Al Sharptons, the Calvin Butts, the Farrakhan, and the rest of them said, we'll take care of it. We'll talk to him. We'll pipe him down. We'll address it, and we'll deal with it.
Because why?
Let us
because
do
why,
it.
Jay? Because they wanted him as president. They wanted him as president.
To give them something.
Mm-hmm.
To give them something.
Right.
But so what she did, her mistake was, she said, okay, I'll let you handle it. And by her letting him handle it, hey, it was over. It was over from that point in time, because then they boxed her in. And once they boxed her in, if you notice, she went on and she did that so-called rap thing. Then she went and she started working with Puff Daddy, and then she became an author. And basically, she's been a recluse, as other than as a writer. And the only time you'll really hear from her is when she comes out to promote her books, and then people start asking her questions. And her intellect is as sharp as it ever was. And it's a tragedy, because if she was given the opportunity at that time, she would have done more for black women than any of them clowns ever did for black people. I'm talking about black women. She would have instilled knowledge, wisdom, and confidence in black women that men like Jesse Jackson and the rest of them would not want to share. That's what the deal is. They would not want to share that type of power and leadership.
Yeah. All right, Jay.
But didn't she go to the White House? Didn't Clinton invite her to the White House? I think she did go to the White House, you know, because
I'm not sure. I don't think, based on my knowledge of her. I think she did.
She did, because
I'm gonna look it up. I'm gonna call one of my boys and I'm gonna ask him, because I don't remember that.
Because remember, when she said what pulled the trigger, you know, is when she said, "Yeah, black folks know about killing because we killing each other. Mm-hmm. We just ain't killing white folks."
Yep.
When she said that, right. That was when he called her to the White House.
Yeah. That was a scare right there.
That was when he called her and said, oh, you got to come talk. We need to talk. When she made that statement, because she did, you know, she said, hey, we know about killing, because we're killing each other. We just saying killing white folks.
I got to look that up. I got to Google that. I got to call one of my boys.
All right, Jay.
You know, to make I don't think she did. But I know for a fact that Jesse Jackson and all of them so-called black leaders at the time asked her to leave it alone,
right,
to back away. Yeah. And I guess out of respect, she backed away. But I tell you this, if she wouldn't have been allowed to address him and deal with him, things would not be the way that they are. Because I mean, you can look at the Donahue program, and you can look at what she did with Larry King and other programs that she was allowed to articulate.
Look at that program that she was on with Daruba Ben Wahan. The issue was race.
Yeah.
With Cornel West and Sharon Prakdishan, the European Jew that was there. All of them. But listen, let me get Brother Lusk, Brother Ted Lusk, in his program. Brother Ted, how you doing, man? Brother Ted, he must be away from the phone. I want to get him to talk about his Kwanzaa. That's what we're talking about, Jay. We're talking about Kwanzaa and
the
things that are happening. Okay, Brother Lusk, how you doing, man? Yes.
Hey, I have to walk away from the phone.
Okay.
First of all, here is our Kwanzaa, Habari Ghani.
A Barragani, Jim Barragani, right on. And a Barragani family is the greeting that you'd have for Kwanzaa. We're going to say that on Monday, a Barragani, which means what's the news? You know, and the answer is the principle of the day. So if it's Tuesday, you say a Barragani, the answer is Umoja. But if it's just Barragani was the news, then the Njema Barragani is the answer. But go ahead, Brother Lusk.
Well, first of all, good day, everyone. I was just in the process of passing on some information, as a matter of fact, of the activities here in Montgomery as well as Birmingham. And so for our Kwanzaa activities in this area of the state, I'm sure there'll be others. So as I get them, I'll just kind of register them in. Mm-hmm. And also, hopefully, they look forward that passing on.
Go ahead, brother Lusk. Go ahead, Ted.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so hopefully people can register their Kwanzaa activities with the Atlanta Kwanzaa Association as well. So
okay, yes, please do.
Keep the news spread and open.
Okay, and your Kwanzaa is the 30th?
The Kwanzaa here in memory actually is going to be on the 23rd. It is going to be at the Nation of Islam Mosque at 5 o'clock, so that's tomorrow.
Oh, that's tomorrow, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And okay.
The citywide Kwanzaa will be in Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay.
On the 26th.
On the 26th. Yeah. Okay, that's the first day.
Yeah, they moved it from the 30th to the 26th.
Okay. Well, we're going to be on the air, so you can announce that again on Monday, okay?
Very good. Very
All right,
good.
Dear brother. Thank you so much, man.
All right. Peace and blessings. All right.
Peace. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Oshie, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What would be a good day in the Kwanzaa celebration that we could use an effigy of a burning necktie around the neck of a cropper? What would be the best day for that?
What would be a good day for that, huh? I don't know, Jay. We got... But you want unity, you want self-determination.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Collective work, collective work and responsibility. You want that one? You know,
yeah, that could
purpose.
Be, that could be it.
Creativity, faith, whatever, you know.
Nah, it could be creativity because it's natural.
Let me go back to Marcus. Brother Marcus, do you have anything else?
No, I just want to say that, you know, just to echo what Brother Jay said the other day. He said, look, he said we have to prepare ourselves because I think next year is going to be a very tumultuous year. You know, we're seeing what's taking place now, you know, and we want to see what the Supreme Court is going to decide, if they're going to decide now on Trump's fate here. I'm happy to see what they did to Giuliani to bankrupt him, because I remember what Giuliani did when David Dinkins was the mayor his actions were, you know, what they did and went to City Hall and with the police and stormed up into City Hall with the police with their guns. Yep. And calling the mayor all kind of ends and all kind of stuff. So I'm glad to see him bankrupt and end up in the poorhouse.
Common, you know? What goes around comes around, brother. That's the law of reciprocity.
I'm telling you.
What goes around comes around. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm glad.
Brother, Hold on, Jay.
All
right. Yes, Brother Jay, when you bankrupt a Giuliani, when you come for a white man's money, you're coming for a white man's God. Let's be clear. These people worship money. And when you come, and the whole slave trade was about money. It was all, this is all about their cash and about their ability to do what they can do with their cash. So Giuliani is losing his mind right now because he has to appear that he's broke. He has to say, I'm bankrupt. We know he's got money, but he has to appear to be broke. White people are similar to poor people. Poor people want to look rich even though they don't have no money.
Right.
Rich people want to look poor when they have money. Come on now.
Yeah.
So So this is really hitting Giuliani where it hurts. Trump doesn't have as much money as he thinks, but he wants you to think he has a lot of money when it's appropriate. His property's worth money when it doesn't have to pay taxes. When you have to pay taxes, it's not worth anything. So let's be clear what's going on with these Caucasians.
Mm-hmm.
They have no soul. I seriously believe that. They have no soul. I'm getting deep with it because the reality is you're dealing with a person who has a devil instinct, who is an evil person. Mm-hmm. Anybody that can enslave a whole race of people is a devil to me.
Yeah.
And they don't see anything wrong. There's still French people colonizing Africans. And we're sitting here talking about some other whatever. But they're colonizing us, Africans in Africa.
And taking the resources, and taking the wealth.
And they're taking. So, come on. I give a damn about Santa Claus. Yeah. Ain't no white man coming down my chimney. What is going on? We have to stay with me, man. We got to stay with what's real right now. Reality is we're still talking about Sister Soulja because Sister Soulja was talking truth. Truth don't need no introduction. It'll never go away, and it's going to be the same today as it was yesterday. Oh, she just said it.
Yeah.
The Donahue Show is relevant today because it's the truth. The truth, you can't get around it.
Yeah.
So my point is we have to stay focused on where – I can give a damn about Giuliani. I give a damn about Donald Trump, and he didn't – he's not going to be on the ballot in Colorado, but shit, he didn't win Colorado anyway. I'm sorry for cussing. He didn't win Colorado anyway. He can give a damn. And Clarence Thomas has to recuse himself, remove himself from the thing because his wife.
It never happened.
Watch. We're going to see.
Check this out. You will now see white folks at their hypocritical propaganda self with this whole decision regarding the Supreme Court in Colorado. Because if they keep him off the ballot in Colorado, you know that there's going to be other states in play. And he feels as though he owns them because he put three of them on the court. But the reality is, if he's as dangerous as people claim him to be, and they want to save the democracy, then they'll kick him off the ballot. Now, if they don't care about the democracy, then they'll let him stay on the ballot because the reality is he's going to win it.
Wrong, Jay. Jay, let me catch some other callers, man. We're running up against time. Appreciate it.
All right.
Brother Paul. Okay, he's gone. All right.
Good.
Not good. Not good. Shut up, Jay. But listen, I want to do this. Mama Nabantu sent me the lineup here and here in Atlanta for the Kwanzaa celebration. And I'm going to give you the lineup on Tuesday, the 26th, which is Umoja, the welcome, libation, being poured, national anthem, and the candle lighting, the Kumbaya Umoja, the lighting of the candles in history, symbols. And then the message of the day, Umoja, and AST and AMP Kemet are the presenting the message, and then the closing words from the new Black Wall Street Market, and then the pledge by Mama Nabantu, and then there's a raffle. Okay, that's on Tuesday, the 26th. Wednesday, the 27th, there's libation being poured by Kenneth Zaki and the Griot Arts Ensemble, and message of Kuji Chakalia by Cheryl Johnson, who's been delivering the message. Some spoken word by Ken and Zaki, my brother. And of closing words from the new Black Wall Street Market. And the pledge by Mama Nabantu. And a raffle. Okay? And that's the 28th. And then the 28th, Ujima, libation. I'm doing libation that day. And Brother Khalid is doing the Black National Anthem, a Zumba presentation with Sister Lindwee, the symbols and so forth, the lighting of the candle, the message, Black Achievement, the Black Achievement Fund with Brother Arkie, doing the message of the day, Ujima, Collective Work Responsibility. And then closing words, and of course, once again, Mama Nabantu with the African Pledge and a raffle. And then on the 29th, Us Lifting Us. That's their day to present Ujima, Us Lifting Us. They're the ones. And they got libation. Mama Nabantu's doing libation. Black National Anthem by Sister Ponder. And the lighting of the candles, of course. Storyteller, Mama Koku. She's doing a story piece. And Brother Bay. Brother Bay. And the 50 hip-hop anniversary presentation. Mr. Server, 50th anniversary of hip-hop. And, of course, once again, the closing of the program. And now, and then the 30th. The 30th, Saturday the 30th, I'm doing libation. And, oh, man, that day is packed. No, Brother Solomon's doing libation. That day is packed. Man. So what I'm saying is Kwanzaa's going on every day at the new Black Wall Street Market located in Stonecrest, east of Atlanta, off of I-20. Exit 75, make a right, three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. Come there for Kwanzaa all 3 days. So, others. Sister, how you doing? Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, well, greetings, and Abifa Bahodie.
Abifa Bahodie, Sister Abia. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I was enjoying... you know, appreciating the information and the knowledge and the historical, all the history and, you know, about our people. And I'll give a shout out to Sister Soldier, too.
For sure.
I think that was awesome, you know, a Black woman leader that we were speaking about. And she's very powerful. You know, I think someone said that there's no other Black woman that speaks out. And it, you know, I'm going to disagree with that. And there's many beautiful Black strong women like Mama Marimba Ani, Dr. Ma'at, Cynthia McKinney. She would speak out, Frances Cress Welding, Mama Nabantu, Sasha Shakur, Winnie Mandela, yeah. Patricia Newton, Kathleen Cleaver, Elaine Brown. A lot of strong Black powerful women. So, you know, just like there's a lot of beautiful, strong Black powerful men, it's not just only one. Black powerful man that stood up, and it's not just one Black powerful woman either.
Ashe, go ahead.
Okay. Ashe, so okay. I'm saying Ashe to that. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
okay.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa, sister. I know I'll see you at Kwanzaa, so I know I'll see you soon, Sister Abia.
Yeah, and is that on the, is there something online, a link that you can tell us about what you were saying?
Well, it was sent to me by Mama Nabantu. I'm not sure what she sent to me over the phone, because it looks good. Looks like it should be. I'm serious on a link, because it looks good, but I'm not sure. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll listen in.
All right, there. Peace.
Ashe.
Peace and power and love.
All right. Well, listen, family. I want to thank you for listening, and you have a great weekend. We'll be on Monday, Christmas Day, and my guest will be Brother Bashir Mchawi out of New York, talking about the history of Kwanzaa, its formation, and so forth. And we're going to talk about the sister who was very instrumental in promoting Kwanzaa on the West Coast, Mama Arcana, and what she helped do. I mean, there are many people, family, that help promote Kwanzaa to make it the world celebration that it is, and it still needs to be, although it has some ebbs and flows, unfortunately. But the bottom line is that the celebration of Kwanzaa will go on, because I think once we understand, by putting these principles in our everyday lives, of unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, you know, creativity, purpose, and faith, you know, will help transform us. You know, in fact, I always say there's a thing that will transform us. And that's, let me say that before I get out of here. I may say it again on Monday. But the number 13, and we talked about that on this program many times, the number 13 is a good number. It's not a bad number. The society tries to make you think that it's a bad number. You know, Friday the 13th, you know, no 13th floor on some hotels and office buildings, no 13th row in some major airlines and so forth. Because they wanted to put in your mind that the number 13 is a bad number. Of course, Friday the 13th movie franchise and all that other kind of stuff. Well, the number 13 is the number of transformation. We often knew that. 12 completes the cycle. 13 begins anew. There's 12 signs in the zodiac plus the sun, 13. There's 12 knights at the mythical round table plus King Arthur, 13. There's Jesus had how many disciples? Exactly, 12 plus Jesus, 13. So there's 13. How many jurors on a trial? 12 jurors plus the judge, 13. So as you can see, the number 13 is a good number because it's a number of transformation. And so how can we put this number into our everyday lives so it works for us? First, the seven principles of Kwanzaa, Umoja, unity. Kujichagulia, self-determination. Ujima, collective working responsibility. Ujamaa, cooperative economics. Nia, purpose. Kuma, creativity and Imani, faith. You have the seven, hold the seven. Add to them the five C's. The first C is consciousness. The first C is consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. Consciousness. And because you have confidence, consciousness, you have courage. You feel good. You have courage. The third C is confidence. Because you have consciousness and you have courage, you have confidence. You know you can get the job. You know you can pass the test. You know who you are. You have confidence. The fourth C is conscience. Conscience. Knowing what is right and wrong and doing what is right when no one's looking. Always standing on principle and integrity. Conscience. And the fifth C, I hate this, man. The fifth C, conviction. Whew, I tell you, y'all. Conviction. You know, even though you wanted to do something and you couldn't do it that time, but because of conviction, you got it done at a different time and it was just as right and just as good. Conviction. So you got seven principles plus five C's. Seven plus five is 12 plus you, 13. And that's how you put the number 13 into our lives to transform ourselves and our community of being the kind of men and women who have respect for themselves and respect for each other. So that's what we need, family. That's what we need. Let us go into so-called 2024 with the right mind. The right mind. And let's begin to do for ourselves and do for each other. Let's support one another. Okay? Brothers and sisters, I thank you. You have a blessed weekend, a safe weekend, this holiday, so-called holiday weekend. And I'll see you on Monday. Shem Hotep means going. Look, let me finish. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E. Because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, let's come together. Let's work hard to support and love and trust one another. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. BB for Hardier. BB for Hardier means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed day. I'll see you on Monday. Peace. All right.